come shamelessly right out and say it. I'm officially in the Christmas spirit as we gladly say goodbye to November. November 30th, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. Actual health care has become a secondary consideration at America's clinics and hospitals. Instead, our hospitals and the people who work there have become completely obsessed with forcing a dangerous and deadly bioweapon into the arms of every American man, woman, and of course, your children. But even if this vaccine mania went away tomorrow, America's hospitals would still be in a terrifying spot, because the problem with our hospitals isn't vaccines. The problem with our hospitals isn't COVID. The problem in our hospitals is the insane ideology embraced by the people who work in our hospitals. This insane ideology is why hospitals are now explicitly denying medical care to white people based on their skin color. And this insane ideology is why hospitals across the country are committing themselves to grooming children for exploitation by the transgender movement. Natalie Denise owns and operates America's only dedicated anti-human trafficking news platform, The Daily Traffic. She also has a newly formed watchdog organization, the Counter Trafficking Alliance. Now, recently, a whistleblowing nurse appeared on Natalie's program and told about this de facto child sex trafficking going on in hospitals. It's shocking. There are psychologists whose modus operandi is to get young children, to target them, to isolate them away from their parents, and then start asking leading questions to plant the idea in their head that they are transgender. They do this to confuse the kids. And the moment the child expresses any doubts about their gender, which could simply be them being uncomfortable with growing up or going through puberty, they attack. And then they announce, this child is transgender and needs to be put on hormones, stat, or worse. And if parents get in the way of this, they could end up actually having their children taken away from them. Insanity. Natalie Dennis joins us now. Natalie, thank you so much for being here. That was an amazing show that you did. I don't think people realize how real this is. And people have been made out to be these crazy lunatics if they talk about child sex trafficking, transgenderism going on. I'm sure that you're painfully aware of that targeting.
Oh, yes. It's honestly harrowing how we've very quickly shifted into this ideology where we have to indoctrinate children, you know, and it's by design to believe that, you know, they're open and fluid, though, and they have, you know, the choice of sexuality. But really, you know, this is a covert grooming process that we're seeing unravel here in America, not just America, but the world, you know, and there's a bigger agenda behind it.
There's a trial going on right now, actually. Ghislaine Maxwell could be the trial of the century. We're going to check in with Edward Saul on that update soon. But, you know, you're right. This is global, and it's not just in hospitals. This happens at practice facilities when your kid is going to hockey practice or football practice or gymnastics or piano lessons or dance recital. This is happening all over the place. Why is it that people with the scales on their eyes are so unwilling to address and acknowledge what I believe to be the biggest problem facing our world today, which is child sex trafficking? Why are they so uncomfortable admitting that this is happening? Because how can we protect our kids if we don't effectively identify the enemy and the problem?
Right. Well, if you see what has happened, what has transpired over the, you know, last recent years, the ideology keeps molding itself and it keeps bending and bending more and more little by little. Just a few weeks ago, we learned that it was a Professor Allen from Old Dominion University. That particular professor penned a book that, you know, if you are attracted to children, you should be called a minor attracted child. It's a big cluster of things that are happening all at once. It's changing vocabulary, it's changing the verbiage of things. And really, this is allowing our culture to mold the way it is so rapidly. So with that being said, when we mold these ideologies and make little things normalcies little by little, then it becomes that. So, you know, it would have been taboo years ago to, you know, allow a child to even talk about sexuality, but now we're seeing it in schools, we're seeing it, you know, in culture, in clothing, in toys. And now, you know, it's so ingrained in our culture that this is what we're predicated on. I don't even know what it's like to grow up, you know, in an internet age. You know, I'm a 90s child. So I come from analog days where we actually went outside, where there was actually dial-up internet. But now everybody is so ingrained in this mobilization of the internet culture, and everything is at the reach of our fingertips, including this information for children. So, you know, it's all an indoctrination agenda, and this just makes it that much easier for children to get indoctrinated with this ideology.
We see it on the mainstream media. We see it in professional sports, men competing as women. We see it on cartoons, and we see it in politics, identity politics. And why is it that the LGBTQ, who I believe are responsible for, in part, greatly, a large part of the normalization of this, because they lead with their sexuality. I'm the first gay this, or, you know, it's okay to feel like that. But really, no, that's not okay. I mean, am I overstating this?
Well, you know, it's that fringe minority, right? It's the fringe minority that has become a lot more louder than the others. Now, you know, I will be fair and say that there are, you know, members of, I'm not going to say, you know, blanket all of them, because there are members that say, hey, look, we don't want this MAPS, because the point that I was getting to with the professor trying to call these pedophiles minor attracted persons is that they're wanting to file themselves under the LGBT community. And some members of the LGBT community are saying, like, no, we're not, you know, people from the university, from that, from the committee, they were like, no, we're not allowing this. But that's the thing. It's so fine lined now that what's to say that they can't file themselves under that category? It's just this really malleable allowance that our society has made for these little things to inch closer and closer into our society, until it has reached the schools, it's reached the curriculums. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's not just the LGBT community. It's also our community. Why aren't we fighting harder? No, you're not going to teach my child this. No, you're not going to indoctrinate, you know, the younger generations with this filth. But, you know, we have little by little allowed this seep into our culture. And this is why we're here today.
So what do you suggest that people do to combat this? What can you arm people with to actually take action against this kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the generic answer is to know what exactly is going on in their schools. You see this culture now more than ever before, where you see parents at the school board meetings, and they are actually fighting this, so much so that, you know, the DOJ is calling, they're calling parents the domestic terrorists of our day.
Yeah, it's insane.
When really what they're doing is they're fighting for their children's education. They're fighting for the purity of their children. And that's what we need to do. We need to replace these board members with patriots. We need to replace them with Christians. And if we are allowing these people to run the curriculums and run the culture, then for as long as we know it, they're going to keep doing it. So why not make our own economies and create that space where we take over, and we do vote these people in, where, you know, we have good ideologies, we have good spines. But that's the thing, Stu, we need to have a spine. If we have no spine and we're just allowing people to dictate our culture, well, then we're not doing anything about it. So that is the biggest part, is that we have to get involved in niche causes, and we have got to actually take over ourselves. We cannot depend on someone else to do it for us. We actually have to get in there and do it ourselves.
The Daily Traffic, you can find it on social media at The Daily Traffic. And I got about a minute left here, but I want you to do something here. Let's do a little reality check for those that just say, it's really not that big of a problem here in our country or around the world. Give us some numbers. Give us some statistics about what the likelihood is that children are trafficked, how they end up there, the likelihood of them surviving or getting away from it. I mean, just shed some light on this.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as the statistics on a child going missing, you know, it's I believe that it's a much more now it's not even quantifiable, in my opinion, because, you know, it's just happening so rampantly. You know, the statistic before was that one every so seconds, a child goes missing, one every 30. I would say that number is a lot more. And especially now that we are quantifying the border situation, you know, as you guys know, you know, Axios reported a couple weeks ago that about 40%, actually it was a couple months ago, 40% of those children at the border are no longer, you can't contact them.
Yep.
We don't know what happened to them. Their sponsors are, you know, unknown. And, you know, that's just an illustration of what is actually going on, because although we have the border situation, we have a domestic situation. We've had a domestic situation in this country. Now, a statistic also for you is that we have a lot more animal shelter spaces for stray animals or rescue animals than we do for human trafficking survivors in the United States itself. We can count, I think, probably 93 organizations that are actually quantifiable that have about 868 beds, you know, as of a year ago. So, you know, we have a big problem, Sue. We don't have enough resources. We're not fighting this ourselves, and it's going to take normal everyday people to get in and their own capacity to combat this problem and actually take hands and matters into our own hands.
Yeah. And there's a reason why these sick pedophiles like Joe Biden are incessantly pushing for these open borders.
Absolutely.
These kids are untrackable, untraceable. And if they go missing, who's going to miss them? Essentially.
Right.
So you can find more information at the Daily Traffic at the Daily Traffic. Natalie Denise, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, Christmas being 26 days away, 26 days till Christmas. I bet you won't mind me telling you about some great Christmas gift ideas that you can find at steponsocks.com. If you're like me, you love the look on somebody's face when they open something that you have carefully thought about, you thought it would match their personality, it's something that they're into, and you can find all of that at steponsocks.com, whether it's the Freedom Forever sock, which is brand new. Go check out the Freedom Forever sock, as well as the Free Our Kids sock. We just talked about that. The Free Our Kids, or my favorite, the Trust in God sock. The globalist socks are available. You can step on tyrants, these people that are trying to snatch your individual liberty, steal elections, shred the Constitution right in front of your face. Plus, silver available at Step On Socks. Flags available at Step On Socks. All great gift ideas. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. Well, the Ghislaine Maxwell trial is going on right now. The chief prosecutor, James Comey's daughter. The presiding judge, an Obama appointee just promoted to an appeals court by Chairman Biden. So you think the fix just might be in? Edward Zoll is a Stu Peters Show investigative reporter on the ground covering this and joins us now. Edward, the child sex trafficking trial of the century began yesterday. What have we learned so far?
Well, Stu, we've learned that the insanity defense isn't the only Hail Mary that a lawyer can throw at what appears to be an insurmountable case. In the case of Ghislaine Maxwell, she's used a new defense, the Garden of Eden defense. Now, this is literally how the defense for Ghislaine Maxwell opened their case. This is lawyer Bobby Sternheim. He said, ever since Eve was tempting Adam with the apple, women has been blamed for the bad behavior of men, and women are often villainized and punished more than the men ever are. Now, with this defense, and of course the publication of this by the real Ghislaine account on Twitter that appears to be run by her family, was established in about March of this year. Her strategy is going to be she's going to appeal to the woke audience. She's just a victim. She's a woman who's been run through, used, and abused by a man. And in this case, the most ridiculous part of that defense is it tries to claim that Ghislaine abused other women, Ghislaine procured girls, and Ghislaine was involved in grooming. Because she herself was a victim. She herself was being groomed or abused by Jeffrey Epstein. Now, see, the problem with all of that is the witnesses. It's the evidence available. Now, as Stu, you noted in the open, there's already some questions about how fair this trial is going to be. It's true that James Comey's daughter is one of the three lead prosecutors for this case, for representing the government's case against Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, Maureen Comey, she's 32 years old. Case of a century, you'd imagine. You wouldn't want to put someone so young on a case like this, but she is the one who's going to be prosecuting the case. Now, the interesting thing about her role in this is her role before this. She was actually, in July 2019, involved in the indictment of Jeffrey Epstein. She was also involved in the case of Nicholas Tartaglione, the police officer who was put in jail after a quadra homicide. He'd killed four people. Jeffrey Epstein believed this man had actually attacked him. He said to his lawyers, according to a source that spoke to the New York Post, that he'd roughed him up and left him nearly unconscious, and that this involved neck injuries and other things. This was before the suicide, enough that it got him off of suicide watch. That's Jeffrey Epstein. James Comey's daughter oversaw those cases too. So you have to wonder how fair and impartial this justice is going to be. And also, Judge Allison Nathan, she's the one overseeing the case. She's a lesbian. She previously was the associate White House counsel for Barack Obama. She also clerked for Republican Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. Now, he was on the liberal side, but the thing with this is that I think to date, she has been somewhat fair. I think one of the biggest issues people have had with her is that she has moved to block press access. Now, that part was true yesterday. The call-in line that was supposed to be available for many of the press was down. Those who were inside were not allowed to have their cell phones, could not record many of the things that were being said. Now, she also said initially that disclosure would merely serve to cater a craving for which is sensational and impure. Now, I don't think that the judge needs to be the judge of whether this information is going to corrupt those who are trying to report on this, those who are trying to find information about this. At this point, with the largest sex trafficking scandal and cover-up in history, I'd imagine that you'd want full transparency. Now, as part of the defense, the lawyer defending Ghislaine Maxwell alluded that there was an astronaut that had flown on the Hampton Jetty. That's another way of characterizing the Lolita Express, the plane used by Jeffrey Epstein to traffic girls across state lines. Now, that astronaut, I believe, is John Glenn, Republican from Ohio. He's now passed away, but he was a senator from 74 to 99. The big part about this is that John Glenn was traveling to meet Jeffrey Epstein's mentor, Les Wexner. That's according to Alan Dershowitz. Now, though these things are being kept out of the trial, these things are, much of it you can't see online, you're not going to see video of this. The problem that we run into with this is that John Glenn is not the only celebrity, the only person of prominence that's involved in this. And when it comes to the information being blocked, the information not being transparent for the public, if you do this, you take that strategy, this is the result.
He wanted to inseminate hundreds of girls at his New Mexico ranch for posterity. They're just sick eugenicists. And I don't even believe Epstein's dead. I think they exfiltrated him out. He's probably on some island where they have the captured children. Hundreds, thousands of children are being abducted for all kinds of uses. Everything from pharma experiments to pornography to hunts. The adrenochrome for the rich who can take their blood, organ trafficking. That's what Epstein specialized in, and Gates is not that far removed. But heaven forbid we talk about that. When you see the likes of what these people do, how they can corral an entire planet into their evil, drug-filled dystopia. They have a 10-year plan. It's called transhumanism. 2030, they want us all into a dystopic world that they control. And Epstein was one of the key people who blackmailed high elites with children, with drugs, so that they could have their evil, ugly ways.
Wow. That is the real trial. That's what the public really wants to see. And other than the fire alarm going off at 2:45 p.m. inside this courthouse, the whole court has been shut down just for this trial. What that woman just said is the heart of why this trial is going on and why the people of this country will accept nothing less than Ghislaine Maxwell in an orange jumpsuit. Reporting for The Stu Peters Show, I'm Edward Zoll.
Law and order, hard at work in America. The criminal justice system, justice for all, hard at work against you and me, my friends, which is why if we're going to take up these initiatives, if we're going to take this thing to battle, we have to do it on our own, which is exactly what Christopher Key did when he founded the vaccine police. It started with him just confronting some petty tyrants on a school board, got a mask mandate lifted, decided I'm going to do this on behalf of all the parents that don't know how to do it themselves. And now he's traveling the country. petty tyrants on school boards. He's also confronting hospital administrators. Why are you killing our friends and family, filling them with remdesivir, throwing them on a ventilator, and keeping friends and family from visiting them as they die? You're poisoning these people. Why are you doing it? He's video documenting all of this stuff. Big pharma CEOs and executives, the pharmacists that are injecting the big pharma bioweapon into your kids or the kids of others that are less informed, serving them with Nuremberg notifications. All of this is documented on video at vaccine-police.com, but he needs some funding. What is he doing with the funding? Well, one example is he's putting up billboards in major metropolitan areas, bringing awareness to the dangers and deadly effects of the bioweapon that the media is incessantly lying about. Very important stuff. Vaccine-police.com needs funding, needs a little bit of help from you. If you feel so called and have the resources, please join me in supporting the vaccine police. Go to vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com. Well, yesterday on the Stu Peters Show, we sat down with President Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. The original interview was booked for just 10 minutes, but ultimately we ended up talking for nearly 40 minutes. I asked Meadows about the 2020 election, which President Trump has made abundantly clear is his top priority, repeatedly, over and over again. And it's the position of any sane American that unless we fix 2020, we will never have a free and fair election in this country ever again. Meadows didn't seem nearly as passionate as we are about an effort to audit all 50 states or to hold Kevin McCarthy and Ronna Romney accountable for funding those efforts. The fraud is blatant. Laws were broken. A coup took place in America and a communist regime was installed against the will of the American people. I asked Mark the big question. Would you support convening a joint session of Congress to reject the fraudulent states of electors and restore President Trump to the Oval Office?
Yeah, so that, you know, when you look at that, I don't see that that actually is going to happen, Stu. I mean, just to be blunt, I served in Congress. I know the intestinal fortitude. You mentioned John Boehner. When I did the motion to vacate the chair to get rid of John Boehner, there was only one name on that motion. I can tell you that. So I don't see that happening. And I think at this point, what you will see is a more aggressive approach by Republicans that are either for election integrity or against it. And whether it goes to that, I just don't see that happening.
This is why Republicans consistently lose. These radical progressive communist Democrats are willing to do anything. It doesn't matter if they have to cheat, if they have to steal, break the law, or make people dead. They'll do it, all of it. Meanwhile, the answer we get on this show when we ask about standing for liberty, freedom, standing for the most basic of fundamental rights, the right to vote and make sure it counts, upholding a presidential election, we get, I think Congress lacks the intestinal fortitude. If you had any doubt that we're being governed by a uniparty made up of globalist elites, that answer should clear it up for you. I don't think Republicans in Congress have the intestinal fortitude. The rest of the conversation was geared toward the chimerically engineered Tony Fauci concocted taxpayer-funded intentionally released China virus, the bioweapon, Trump endorsements, and the Meadows ties to Chinese communists. Take a look. So you helped the Trump administration push Operation Warp Speed. And I've been told that the only information that Donald Trump gets is from some of the horrible staff he keeps around himself. China-tied lobbyist Susie Wiles, Kushner lackeys. Does the president know that the shots that they're calling vaccines that he's pushing on the entire populace are killing all kinds of people?
You know, I don't know that he knows any of that as it relates to the vaccine, Stu. I can tell you that...
If I give you the information, would you bring it to him? Because they're pushing this on our kids.
You send it to us. Obviously, I forwarded other information to him. But if you send it to me, I'll be glad to make sure it gets in his hands. I can say this, that his first inclination back in 2020 was to focus on therapeutics, more so than vaccines. Yeah. And we all talk about Operation Warp Speed and the success of bringing a vaccine to market. I can tell you there are a number of people that have had discussions with the president to even recently to continue to focus on those therapeutics, on those things that actually that he originally went with and advocated for. And so I know a number of the pushes have been back against the vaccine mandates and about the lack of freedoms there. But I think the bigger part of that is if you'll get me information, I'm more than happy to pass it on.
Under President Trump's supervision, Congress gave Big Pharma blanket immunity for any harm caused by these vaccines. Now, according to data from this Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, these shots have been linked to more deaths than any other vaccine in history. Who deserves the responsibility for that?
Well, obviously, when you the emergency use authorization is what you're referring to, and the lack of accountability when it comes to adverse effects, is something that was in law prior to Donald Trump, and it's just part of the process. As we look at that, one of the things that back from my old congressional days that I can say is whether it's this vaccine or other vaccines, there's a fund actually out there to actually help with some of the to mitigate some of the damages financially that are out there. And so as you look at vaccines and where they are, we need to make sure that we're only treating people with something that's safe. And obviously, when you look at the rush, even now, the rush to look at different vaccines with different variants, that needs to be a decision that's made between you and your doctor, not between the government and a patient.
Well, and a lot of these doctors are being pushed really hard. I mean, they're zombies with stethoscopes. They're following a protocol that's sent down to them by the NIH. And look, I'm saying this, and I don't want to get really deep in the weeds, but I'm saying this because on this program, we talk to experts every single day. We talk to whistleblowers. We talk to the parents of kids who have been killed by these shots. And we're looking at, 19,000 almost deaths as of today. The Harvard study suggests that that's less than 1% of vaccine injuries are reported to this system. That's huge numbers. And they're pushing this thing on our kids. By the time 2024 elections come around, Americans will have spent 4 full years as Biden's medical guinea pigs. These vaccines will have been forced on our military, on school children, most corporate employees. So given all of this, why do you think that President Trump has continued to act like a Pfizer spokesperson at these campaign rallies?
Yeah, I think that what you'll see is on some of that, that's starting to moderate some, Stu. I think that he got some feedback from a lot of people, some of the people that you've mentioned in terms of his advocacy for that. I think I've noticed even recently that while taking credit for Operation Warp Speed and the unbelievable medical achievements that certainly went at record pace, he's also looking at the fact that we shouldn't go into a whole lot of liberty challenging. I've got family members, obviously, that continue for religious liberties point of view to not take the vaccine. But whether it's religious or health reasons, we live in a free society, and we're finding that truthfully, a lot of these mandates are interestingly enough, what they say it accomplishes and what it actually accomplishes is two different things.
Yeah, it's not a vaccine because it doesn't give you immunity. And if you look at Israel, the most inoculated country on the planet, they also have virtually the highest COVID infection rate as opposed to India, where there are no injections and they have virtually no COVID at all. It's just ridiculous. And then these variants that you were talking about, this Omicron or this moronic, whatever it's called, out of South Africa, I don't even know how we're diagnosing this stuff. Where is there a test for these variants? And how do you have a variant of something that's never been isolated other than on a lab in a computer in Wuhan, China in the first place? But anyways, I digress. I'm good. I'm glad. I'm going to get you this stuff. And please,
yeah, do that.
Please,
I'll
get
be
it
glad
to, the president.
To afford it.
Let's talk endorsements. It seems like while he was president and in the month since, there's been some endorsements that are a little haphazard. Steve Womack trashed Trump after January 6th, but he just endorsed him for another term in Wyoming. He's allowed Liz Cheney to basically pick her replacement, Harriet Hagman. He's endorsed her. Nobody saw her as a contender beforehand. And when Hagman herself is an old friend of Cheney's, that's a little concerning. Have you personally advised the president on what endorsements to make?
Yeah, obviously, I've given him some opinions. I can tell you most of those endorsements, when you look at a number of endorsements, those actually get made by a group of people around him in his inner circle. As you know, I don't work for him any longer. I do talk to him on a regular basis. a lot of the influence that you see in terms of some of these races continue to be from the McCarthy team that I know meets with him on a pretty regular basis, and his political advisors, as well as Lindsey Graham and some of those on the Senate side. I think what you'll see is that a president will be a little bit slower in terms of some of his endorsements. He takes those very seriously. And yet, at the same time, a lot of the endorsements will get he'll get a lot of incoming from different people on what's good or not good. I think for you, the litmus test is just like it is for me. They need to have been with him, be an America First candidate, and hopefully be in a place where not only that they will be with him when they want to run for office, but they'll be with him when he serves his second term.
If being with him and being America First is important, why is the President Trump dealing with Kevin McCarthy and Lindsey Graham?
Yeah, I think he gets a lot of input from people that would suggest that those two individuals will give him sound political advice. I can tell you that he's got his political team, and they try to meet that out with Congressman Womack. I'm not as familiar with that endorsement. In fact, I'm learning that he endorsed Congressman Womack from you this morning. But with that, I will say that the vast majority of many of us who have been with him have suggested that he look at these endorsements and go with his gut. Here's the thing is, you get all kinds of people trying to influence him, and his endorsement is the only endorsement I've seen by a president, and certainly by someone who is no longer in office, that actually has real effect. And so I've encouraged him to go more with his gut than his political advisors or some of those that continue to look at advising him on coming on. A lot of times he gets blowback from the America First followers and those that are truly a MAGA crowd. And he goes, why have we endorsed here? And so he'll get perhaps a little bit of a tilted view and giving additional input. It's why it's critical for Stu, you and others to continue to voice concerns about those that are sitting members of Congress and those who want to run.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are. Believe that. So in addition to Womack, you might not know about Chuck Grassley, who's 88, who trashed the president, as well as John Bozeman in Arkansas, who blames Trump for the violent insurrection on January 6th, still has publicly viewable posts blaming the president for this unprecedented violent attack on democracy. And he endorsed him over Jan Morgan, a true America First candidate, who, by the way, was the national spokesperson for Citizens for Trump. So a lot of that is confusing, which led us to start poking around. And thanks to sources close to the president, the show has reported on allegations that Bill Stepien, perhaps in collaboration with Jared Kushner, effectively sold the president's endorsement. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can tell you the president's endorsement is not up for sale. Now, they may have sold him on the idea, but I can tell you, if anything, where I would push back strongly is, when it really comes to the president, he takes these endorsements seriously in any impropriety. If he thinks that somebody is gaining financially because of it and he knows about it, it'll make him go the other way. So I want to make sure that that's clear. Yet at the same time, I can tell you Chuck Grassley is probably in a different situation than Bozeman. Chuck Grassley while he's made some statements, the president enjoyed a very close working relationship with Senator Grassley. And as you know, he showed up for the Iowa rally not too long ago, has been very verbal about wanting the president's endorsement. So I'd probably put Senator Bozeman and Senator Grassley in two different categories, but your point's well taken.
So you were a big personnel guy. You changed things around in your last year. You understand, you acknowledge personnel is policy.
Right.
So last spring, the president brought in Susie Wiles to oversee these endorsements. Before working in Trump world, though, Wiles was a managing partner at Ballard and Associates, which lobbies on behalf of China. Shouldn't that be enormously worrisome and a little strange right now after we saw in 2020 how China had its claws in the Biden family's criminal enterprise?
Yeah, so the China aspect of this is something that obviously the president pushed back real, real strongly on. I can tell you, Susie Wiles, the reason why she's there is because she was with him in 2016 in Florida and delivered Florida. She was with him again when in Florida, he brought her on late in 2020 to advise in Florida. And it is those political responses that have made a big difference. And so that's the reason, you know, and I know that I'm not aware of any conversations they've had as it relates to China policy, but I can tell you that the real impetus behind that is exactly where it came from was those two Florida connections.
So I hope that the president will also look to Georgia and consider the real America First. The only serious candidate there is Candace Taylor. She loves Jesus. She is fighting for exposing fraud in Georgia, fighting to get that election right in Georgia. Amazing America First candidate. She represents Trump's base, not this Vernon Jones guy who flipped over and has turned out to be some sexual deviant. Kemp, we already know how the president feels about Kemp, and obviously not Stacey Abrams. So please, if you could pass along to the president to take a look at Candace Taylor. So I want to talk about you.
And I will do that. I will do that.
Awesome. Thank you. I want to talk to you about something that we reported on here that was very concerning and allow you the opportunity to clear something up about Mark Meadows personally. Okay.
Sure.
On November 19th, this show discovered a really concerning report over at National File regarding your alleged and very close connections to Chinese communists through this ridiculously named Humpty Dumpty Institute, as well as the CCP-tied Taihat Institute. What were you doing with these Chinese communists exactly?
Yeah, so the Humpty Dumpty Institute, I joined that actually in trying to work, not knowing any connections with China back when I was a freshman member of Congress. It was only as a freshman member of Congress and then didn't have any affiliation. In fact, they continued to use my name after they were looking at a number of things. And so I had to send them a letter to distance myself from them. In terms of any connection with China, actually, I was actually on the China Commission, holding China accountable during that time. And so as a freshman member of Congress, you get a number of people who come and say, can you be involved in this or that? But I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. I can tell you that if there is anyone who believes that China is our number one threat, it's me. And I will continue to believe that we take them to casually and quite frankly in the White House when it came to fighting back against China. I know a number of our more China hawks found me to be a chief of staff that was willing to give them support and not work against them.
So you were not on the board there for nearly a decade as National File reports?
No. I was never on their board. They had me as a congressional advisor because I joined the group in my freshman year, and then they continued to use my name, and we had to send them a cease and desist to take me off of that particular group because they continued, because I was a Republican name that obviously got to be a high profile, but was never on their board.
Yeah, I mean, you were the only Republican. There were over a dozen Democrats, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff. Why did you ask for your name to be removed? What were these people doing, things that were concerning to you?
Yeah, so they actually started to do some things as it related to Israel and some of the positions they were taking and sponsoring a trip. And that's how it got highlighted to me. I, as I mentioned, had gone to one of their meetings early on in my freshman term. And then when they were sending out the invite to go to a different meeting using my name, we sent them a cease and desist at that particular point. And that was the end of that.
Okay. They reported that you were on this advisory board or commission or whatever.
Well, I think it's.
So public record is inaccurate is what you're saying, because you asked for your name to be removed, but they just left it there.
If indeed it was still there, then it is inaccurate. Yeah, what I've told you is all that I know from a standpoint of my freshman year. And then when our name is, if my name is still there or was still there until recently, then it shouldn't be there.
Well, it's obvious that China's attacking us. I mean, given the China virus, and Americans are rightly concerned if it seems that the infiltration had risen all the way to your level, right, the chief of staff of the president of the United States.
Sure.
At what time do we start treating China and multinational corporations like Pfizer as the hostile enemies that they are? Pfizer is like a Chinese lieutenant. Pfizer was literally founded by commies out of Germany in the 1850s.
Well, it's one of the reasons why with the World Health Organization and my pushback on them was a real strong pushback to get President Trump to withdraw from the WHO. I felt like the WHO was not only advocating for China, but they were actually going and protecting China from a transparency in terms of the China virus. And so as we looked at that, that was a big key for me and why I pushed. It was really sad to see some within our administration and obviously many as it relates to Biden actually now just touting the WHO when they are essentially allowing China to call the shots in terms of the World Health Organization. So pushing back both internally and externally is something that we need to do.
Yeah, it's my opinion. You look at some of these multinational corporations, and I'll go back to Pfizer. It's my opinion that they're attacking the global population in lockstep with Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab's sycophants. And I think that we need to start saying it how it is. The book is called The Chief's Chief. It's available right now by Mark Meadows. I've got about a minute left here. I want to give you the final words.
Hey, I just want to say that as we look to 2024, we can't underestimate what is at stake. And more so 2024 than 2022 when Republicans may take back the House. We certainly want to do that. But it needs to be America first. It needs to be, we need to quit apologizing for America's greatness. We need to make sure that we do that. And in so doing so, we can, I believe, hopefully reverse some of the damage that Joe Biden and his administration is perpetrating on the American people. But we don't have much time left. And it's key that all Americans have their voice heard.
Mark Meadows, I'm going to send you that information on
sure, this, I'll get it to him.
This bioweapon that's being called a vaccine. And then also remember, Candace Taylor in Georgia, the governor, endorsed by Mike Lindell. I've never done a political endorsement before. I don't think anybody really cares, but I endorse her as well.
No, well, hey, listen, endorsements are better than not having them. So
exactly.
So let me, I will share it with the president today.
Excellent. Can we get you back here again sometime?
Yeah, sure. Be glad to.
We really appreciate talking to you. Mark Meadows, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.
Thanks, dude. Take care.
Well, Brooke Switsky is the brother of our own producer, Lauren Witsky. As you know, Lauren and her family are from Delaware, where she ran for Senate last year. Now, Delaware doesn't have many people, but what it does have is thousands of major corporations. Pfizer, BlackRock, Soros Fund Management, LLC, you name it, they're all incorporated in Delaware. There's a reason so many of these companies backed Joe Biden. He'd basically been their slave for all the decades he was in the Senate, and they paid him back by doing things like giving his worthless son Hunter free jobs that he didn't deserve. But anyway, all of those companies are headquartered in Delaware because the state has very favorable laws for corporations and because their state court system is favorable to them as well. And Delaware keeps it that way by controlling who's allowed to practice law in the state. Now, in the rest of the country, you get a law degree, you pass the bar exam, you're a lawyer. But in Delaware, there's additional hurdles, a lot of them. A couple of them, you have to be a resident in the state for at least 5 months before taking the bar exam, and you need a 10-year veteran of the bar called a preceptor to vouch for you before you can be let in. Got it. The good old boys club. They do all this deliberately to keep people out of the Delaware legal system. But why do they do that exactly? They do it to protect major corporations like Soros, like Pfizer, from being sued there. Right now, simply finding a Delaware lawyer to sue a major corporation can be a huge barrier to real accountability. Brooke Switsky recently graduated near the top of his class at Concordia Law. But despite that, he's been kept off the state bar by these powerful globalist forces. Now he's filed a lawsuit to force these laws to be overturned, and if it's successful, it won't just matter for him. This could be one of the most profoundly impactful lawsuits in years, by allowing more lawyers onto the Delaware bar and opening the floodgates for real lawsuits against powerful corporate actors. Brooks Witzke joins us now. Brooks, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. I don't think a lot of people realize that this is really going on.
Well, thank you for having me and for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate it. A lot of people don't realize it. When I explain to lawyers from out of state, non-lawyers, or even people from out of state, people are like, what? Wait, what? It's like people don't even know what's going on. What's going on right in front of their eyes, what goes on in little Delaware, Joe Biden's Delaware. So, I mean, it's been going on for a long time.
What would your lawsuit do exactly?
So what my lawsuit does is it basically will change the system of justice in this country by opening the bar up to any qualified individual, regardless of their residency, regardless of where they live. No longer will someone be required to give up their livelihood and their home in another state and relocate to Delaware, which is a measure to limit the bar to in-state residents and people that are like-minded. But anybody can come and get licensed. And people harmed by big corporations or the acts of big corporations, they will be able to have lawyers in their home state that are Delaware, Delaware licensed attorneys that they can go to bring these corporations to justice. Right now, the expense that a Delaware lawyer charges, if they even agree to take your case, the expense that they charge is just huge. And it's very hard to get a Delaware lawyer to take a conservative or any other kind of cause that's just, because they're all, usually serving the corporations. It's rare. And as we saw with Lynn Wood, I'm sure, I don't know if you guys heard of him before.
Yes, absolutely. Lynn is a good friend of the show.
Yeah. He was practicing there pro hoc vice, which is he was licensed for a case. And it's a case called Page versus Oath. You guys can look it up. Don't take my word for it. Google it. Page versus Oath. It was just this year. And the judge presiding over the case went on to Lynn Wood's social media accounts and saw that he was a supporter of President Trump during the 2020 election result dispute and whatever was going on. He revoked Linwood's pro hoc vice status and was saying all this stuff in the opinion, put it in the court opinion. It was like, yeah, this guy, I looked on his social media and he was saying all this stuff about Trump winning by this many votes. And he was saying bad stuff about mean things about the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts. And I care not to repeat it, but I'm just going to revoke it because our bar is better than everybody else. I mean, he said it in the opinion.
We look at blanket immunity. We've been talking a lot about it for Pfizer, for Moderna, for some of these companies through Operation Warp Speed, who just they have no immunity for any injuries, any death associated with this bioweapon. But this blanket immunity is to protect all of the elites in our government, particularly on one side of the aisle. Why hasn't this been widely broadcast in the past? Why am I just learning of this now?
Probably because nobody else has ever had the courage to bring this kind of lawsuit. When I chose to do this, I tried to contact many, many different people. I've even contacted some of the people that helped represent Rudy Giuliani against the New York bar. I contacted several other attorneys to see if they'd be, and they all told me, they said, there is no way we would ever get involved in this, that you are trying to take on a giant that is impossible and you will be crushed, if not killed, by bringing this cause of action. And so the thing is, people are fearful. People are fearful. And, this is a true David and Goliath battle. I'm going to be going against an army of Ivy League, law school graduates born, with a silver spoon in their cheek and they have bottomless pockets to fight this out. And I'm going to do my best job that I can. But the thing is that ultimately the people that are successful in courts are the ones that have hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars back. And the people that are in Delaware, the lawyers that are in Delaware, even the people that are the rural liberal type, they're lining their pockets every year with the average starting pay for a lawyer in Delaware is $175,000 a year. They make tons of money because these corporations have to hire Delaware counsel. Yeah. And so it's a monopoly. And so nobody's going to say anything. And, I'm one of those rare breeds that is just out there to fight for the little guy, to fight for people like you guys, your notice network, people that have been victimized by the system.
I'm in that little cool kids club. That's the club that I want to be in, is the club with you taking on all these people who are supposedly going to kill me and hunt me down and, you know, ban me and censor me. The same thing for you. And you mentioned that these attorneys are making so much money. Well, that's what they have to protect now. If they let any qualified lawyer in, the supply of lawyers will be greater, making the demand less, and their income will come down. So they're going to fight like hell to prevent you from doing this. When are you going to have some sort of indication as to how this is going to go?
Well, litigation, it's in federal court. I filed it in federal court. And there is one other thing that I wanted to mention, is that the state of Delaware derives great benefit as well. You know, it's all in the lawsuit that I filed, but they, when they foster homegrown law firms, it brings in different revenues to the state, the licensure fees, pro hoc vice fees, people coming in for those cases that pay Delaware legal industry, that supports the legal industry. So there's such a network of benefit. But as far as to answer your question, this lawsuit, I filed for an emergency temporary restraining order. I filed for a preliminary injunction in the federal court. We should know in the next couple of months if the judge will grant the preliminary injunction request. If not, I mean, I'm still going to go forward to try and get a permanent injunction, which, you know, could take, with how things get drawn out in the federal court and silenced and, you know, delayed, it could take, you know, at least a year, before I can even, you know, get anywhere with this case. But, you know, I'm not giving up. And until they kill me, I'm not giving up. And I'm going to appeal it to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. And I'm going to appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court if I have to make sure that the world knows this is not okay. You know what I mean? And to tell other lawyers and other bar applicants that you don't need to be afraid of them. I'm not afraid.
Well, I'm going to find a way to help you out if I can. When we're done here, I want you to stay on the line. I'm going to try to get some information from you so that we can post it over at StuPeters.tv. If anybody wants to help you, if there's a way that they can do that, we'll make sure that we post it there. And you love Jesus, right?
Yeah. Okay. I do love Jesus.
God will never forsake you. And so, you've got the real team, the winning team. We know how that book ends. We're going to continue to follow this as well here at the Stu Peters Show. Brooks Witzke, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's amazing what we're up against here. And did you see that article over at the Gateway Pundit about how these communists intend to install Hillary Clinton once and for all as our president here in the United States? Go read it. Insanity, totally plausible, not kooky talk or conspiracy theory. They will stop at nothing. So corrupt are these progressive communist radical Democrats. They're not going to stop. Buy ammo, get guns, go to gunsamerica.com. Whether you are buying or selling a gun, gunsamerica.com. Whether you are a dealer or a private party, gunsamerica.com. Whether you're looking for something specific and you're willing to have it shipped in from afar, or you're looking for somebody local in your area. By the way, all transactions within 50 miles of you are absolutely free. One of the most original, one of the most trusted platforms for buying and selling guns, gunsamerica.com. Go to gunsamerica.com right now. Mention Stu Peters when you go to gunsamerica.com. Even the Wall Street Journal is going to acknowledge inflation now that it hit a 31-year high in October. Consumer price index jumped 6.2%. Carlos Cortez is here to talk to us about this. That's the subject of today's Money Minute. By the way, get over to CortezWM.com. Don't do business with communists. Don't do business with cookie-cutter financial advisors that work for these big chains and heavily advertised corporate conglomerates. Do business with an independent fiduciary like this guy. And a fiduciary, by the way, just real clearly, that means that you only do well when your customers do well. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well,
that's correct.
I don't see why you would do business with any of these other people. They work on commissions, and of course, they just want to trade this and trade that. Okay, let's talk inflation. 6.2% jump in consumer prices and product prices in the CPI index. What does this mean?
Yeah, it's terrible. Consumer price index, you see bacon, lumber, plastics, everything that we consume has gone up in double digits. And so, unfortunately, people on Social Security only get COLA adjustments, which is at 5%. So we're already losing if you're on fixed income. And secondly, you can come to our website, info@CortezWM is our email, or CortezWM.com. We do have a class tonight at a little after 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and that will be at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Next year, we'll be doing more classes later. And inflation is just off the hook right now. And we have the solutions to protect our clients. CDs, if you got $100,000 in the bank, you just lost $6,200 this year.
Yeah.
If you have $300,000, you lost over $18,000. And if a million, Stu, you've lost $62,000 just by keeping it, quote unquote, safe at the bank.
Yeah, this is hurting everybody. Don't you dare let these globalists tell you that this is only affecting billionaires and rich people, because this thing is affecting the mom and pop and the grandma and the grandpa on these fixed incomes, Social Security, these people that are going into the corner store and they're not able to find a product for, you know, I mean, what is it costing now? Four times the amount to fill your vehicle with gasoline. It's insane. And then all the travel at the holidays, you know, airline tickets are going way up as well. Carlos Cortez, go to CortezWM.com to book an appointment with this guy right here, CortezWM.com. Until tomorrow, at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. I'll be praying for you. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the radio!